WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are too.
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a free sub available, we can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little button at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way for all the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. It's a Thursday night. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com. Where's Wings at? The EVS is liberty. You're allowed to interact with us live on this Thursday night to talk professional wrestling and sports entertainment.
And it was an interesting week in the world of the professional wrestlings.
I mean, it's an interesting week, yeah.
So much stuff happened. So I say we don't waste any time and we jump right into the news, brought to you by our friends over at mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. And leading off with a good news story, we have Mike Santana officially joining WWE, so congratulations to him.
Yeah, there was some speculation what his name might be, but they put it on Facebook what his name is, which is Mike Santana, which doesn't mean come Tuesday they don't change his name, but I don't know why you would change it. Because it's a brand name that's been on your television, but it's WWE. They always figure out a way to change names and things, and because they just want to do things, because it's WWE. They like owning and controlling everything.
Which we'll get into. I mean, if there's anybody who can do the legalese, it's them, so we'll see if he gets to keep the name or not. I hope he does. Like,
even if they just short it into Santana. I don't know if you could do it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could do it just Santana, because, you know, singer. Maybe it has to stay Mike Santana. I don't know.
Maybe if they just add, like, another T or something like that. I don't know.
They'll figure out something, but everyone knows who he is. He's been around for...
Ever.
It was Santana and Ortiz in AEW, and he was Mike Santana in TNA for the last few years. So it's like, yeah, he should be who he is. let at least the name like AJ does and Joe did and all the rest have done. That would be the smart play.
That would be the smart play.
But we all knew we all knew he was coming. Once his deal with TNA was up, it was like, yeah. They've had their eye on him since they've been using the partnership for the last year. They've used him a lot. It made total sense why he joined. And he can go work NXT, work AAA. He'll be a big stand-up. They can use him on that brand too. So it's the perfect fit.
Indeed, it is the perfect fit. We have more stuff coming for WrestleMania weekend in April. And no, y'all, it will not be in Saudi. WWE has announced that NXT Stand and Deliver, which is NXT's annual marquee event, and AAA Eternal Glory will take place at the Infosys Theater at Madison Square Garden in New York during WrestleMania 43 weekend in April of 2027. It's going to create a citywide moment for fans to celebrate the global two-night event. So if you can't go to WrestleMania, you can go to AAA or Stand and Deliver. Prior to the events, WWE will host an official WrestleMania 43 watch party at the theater, transforming the versatile venue into an immersive live viewing experience for the WWE Universe, complete with giant LED screens, brand activations, merchandise, and more. Additional details regarding the official WrestleMania 43 watch parties in cities around the country, including major commercial venues and select ComSM or CoSM locations, will be announced soon. Complementing the weekend events, but wait, there's more. WWE and Fanatics will deliver an interactive fan experience and exclusive WrestleMania 43 retail activations in New York. So there's a fan shop and fan stuff that's happening in New York. Additional ticket, event, and fan experience details will be announced in the coming months. Fans can register now to be the first to receive general event information by visiting WWE.com/WM43weekend.
So this explains what they're doing for WrestleMania and it being weird and fans maybe not fully traveling overseas to watch it.
I think that's more it.
That's what I mean, is being weird to go there instead of coming here. Yeah, this is a smart play by WWE creating a weekend in New York before any other company decides to find a spot to do things. So WWE's already putting their stamp in a city for the big, you know, big events during that weekend here in the States. While AEW may run somewhere else, WWE will have New York, which is their backyard, to run the show. They're running it like what I think that's the old theater, so it's probably what 2,000 seats, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe,
which is the right size,
and it may be smaller than that. But guess what? That's the right size theater for them to use. Because it's where Raw used to be filmed back in 1993. They did Raw 30 in that built that setup. I think if this is the exact place I'm thinking about.
So the capacity of the setup is standard seating capacity is 5,600 people.
Okay, yeah.
So, but it can range between 2,000 and 5,600. So depending on how much they open it, they'll at least have 2,000. Probably.
Yeah, it's the building with the lights on top. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought it was. It's where they used to run Raw.
Yeah,
back in the early 90s. That's smart. Holding the watch party. Holding the watch party first and then going into the actual event. That is smart. Holding watch parties in different venues. Smart. So you can put one in Chicago and in LA and Texas. You do your big markets and you rent out little theaters and let them, because they have the branded deals with the movie theaters, so you can do them along with the Cosm locations and bigger buildings to try sell some tickets. It's the smart thing to do because whatever 43 is going to be, it's going to be different, and you don't know, it's not going to be your highest grossing WrestleMania. It's not going to, it's like all these things won't be a thing, but you got to generate income. So this is the way to do it, and I would expect this to be honestly the way to do it anytime you take WrestleMania overseas.
Well, this is the test, right? Like we've talked about this before, is there is very clearly an interest to take it international. Saudi's going to get it first, and then it's probably going to spiral from there. Like I would suspect that London gets it very soon, Paris will probably get it very soon. They'll go back to Germany at some point. Like it's the test to see the cost and where they can make the money up.
especially for the US market, which is the largest market because that's their home base, for WrestleMania. And they understand that not everybody is going to be able to necessarily afford to fly from the US to Europe or to Saudi, especially. Like, that's a very expensive plane ticket. So they've already acknowledged that at least for the States, people are not going to fly over. Europe is a different matter. I would be curious to see if they do anything in Europe for that. Just because I don't know how much of the audience from Europe and other international markets are going to travel to Saudi to see the show. Like, this is going to be a very interesting thing to watch. Because we've talked about this before with a lot of the stuff going on in the world. There's a lot of travel warnings. People are not necessarily willing to go there right now, just for safety, even though I'm sure it's perfectly safe. And the Saudi government is going to guarantee that everything is going to be okay for WrestleMania 43. Like, they're going to make sure nothing happens, I'm sure. But still, it's like with everything going on in the world, that's going to damper the event. And just with rising prices and everything else, it's going to damper the event. So WWE has to figure out a way to make up the money somewhere, because they aren't necessarily going to get the normal ticket sales that they would usually get for the show. Even though I'm sure by the time this goes live, that arena or that building or whatever they're going to build for it is going to be full.
WWE's going to get paid for it no matter what. So ticket sales for that or not is secondary, because Saudi's paying them to be there.
Yeah, that was going to be my next point. I think they're gonna get their money no matter what, because I think they've been paid a very pretty penny to bring it over. So I don't think they're as concerned about that, but they still need to do something for their home base. And they've tested this before with doing the virtual events. They started doing it, I think, last year or 2 years ago, where they did like that widescreen, almost IMAX like experience, where it puts you like right there at the show and it looks like you're there at the show.
That's the Cosm. Location.
Yeah. They started doing that last year. They're doing it again this year. They're going to put it in theaters, which is actually kind of nice, because realistically, you could put that in every city. You could put a showing of that in every city, because they have the deal, like you said. So if you don't want to watch WrestleMania at home, you can go to the theater and you can watch WrestleMania at the theater. Or you can watch it from home. But I am very interested to see how they do all of this. I do like that they are doing this, and there is an acknowledgement from them that they're like, yeah, we get it. We know you guys aren't going to be able to go. We know you guys are going to miss out. And I think some people are genuinely very pissed about that. So they're trying to do what they can to make up for it by putting something in New York. I like that they're going to run AAA, and they're going to run NXT there. They're going to give, especially the NXT kids, a nice big venue to run. That'll be cool for them to go to Madison Square Garden and perform at Madison Square Garden, even if it's not the actual garden. Yeah. It's like adjacent, but still, it's kind of cool. So I do like that they're doing all this. I do worry about how much it's going to cost, because that's a whole different.
But if it's a ticket that gets you to everything, that's pretty good. You get to see WrestleMania and a live show and an 8-hour event, basically. An 8-hour show, if it's a combo ticket type thing, that's not the worst idea.
It's not the worst idea, and I'm sure they will do it. I think what would be neat, honestly, is if they do like a meet and greet with it, which I'm sure they will, because they're doing like a fan, like many fan experiences, but you have people that are maybe not going over to Saudi come in for the events in New York.
You do get the people who are under your Legends deals. You have them show up for this. You swipe them before WrestleCon does and takes them to the AEW thing.
Yeah.
Whatever they bring everybody. Doing.
Yeah, so you could get, like, if he's not going, although he's the Hall of Fame guy, you get Taker to do it. Because I don't know if Taker's going to fly to Saudi, but you could have him.
No, he like can't be. He York. Can't. He has to be the. He has to be in New York. He's the Booker man.
That's right. So he could appear.
Yeah, he's Booker man for AAA. He's going to be in New York City.
Sean's going to be there.
Yeah, they're the Booker men, so they'll be there.
You know, you could, for the TNA fans, you could have JB show up. No, I'm kidding. But you could just do that, where it's like you could build this out into a US mini fan fest. Basically for the US fans and any talent that are not going over, because they're going to take their major talent over for WrestleMania, so that's going to eliminate some people. But like anybody that's not really going, you could have them go up to New York and do fan experience and meet and greets and photo signings and everything else. And they could make a little money that way.
All right, you bring well. AJ Styles up. And
yeah.
You get enough talent who's WWE affiliated and let them run. And it'll be fun. It's going to be mini access there for that weekend because the other access will be in Saudi.
Saudi.
So it's like you have to kind of... And WWE's smart in brand the way they're branding it because they have to be like, still go to Saudi, but here's this other thing that's happening. You got to brand it like watch parties and stuff, and you just because Saudi could get mad if you kind of don't brand it a certain way that takes away from their shine.
Yes,
but I like that they're doing this. This was the smart idea, and it also puts Stand and Deliver back on WrestleMania weekend. So you're gonna get, and this is them getting out in front of. If AEW wanted to run a show after WrestleMania, when they WrestleMania both nights, WWE's the first. WWE's already put the first one out there, so this time it'll be AEW going up and kept being the one to put it out there. So WWE's getting the jump start because a lot of the murmurs keep popping up every month when someone says, "So are you going to run WrestleMania weekend?" And we'll see. I have ideas. And so WWE gave out their ideas first, mainly because they were at MSG and they made a big announcement.
Yeah, which there's no harm in that. But yay. So if you're interested, go to the website and get your tickets because I think they're on sale now officially or they're getting ready to go on sale. So go check it out.
Register. Register for information that tickets in the next few months.
There you go. Pat McAfee. This is weird. Pat McAfee has officially announced his debut album. I didn't know he could sing. It's titled Diary of a Polarizing Figure, with the 12-track project set for release on August 14th.
Apparently he's working with a bunch of different artists, some from Nashville, probably Jelly Roll, and others, to put this thing together. Hey, when you have the money, go for it. Do things. Do things you've always wanted to do. If this is something he's wanted to try, let him try. If this is helping him get young artists out there, go for it.
Go pick it up. And on that vein, maybe he'll do the theme song for the changes that are happening over at Sirius XM. So WWE and Sirius are partnering. They're going to launch an official radio station. I find this incredibly interesting, in part because I do work in the industry, and it's showing that radio is on its way back. If WWE is investing in it, they are very much at the forefront of emerging or growing technologies, media industries. They kind of have their finger on the pulse of all that stuff. So this is something to watch. Starting on Monday, July 27th, which is this coming Monday, WWE Radio will launch, and it's going to be available on channel 156 for Sirius XM subscribers. It's replacing the current Pro Wrestling Nation 24/7 channel, but the programming lineup will continue to be anchored by Sirius's main wrestling show, Busted Open Radio, along with shows hosted by Sam Roberts, Peter Rosenberg, Natalia, and more. WWE Radio will also have live commentary for every WWE PLE, with Vic Joseph and Booker T set to call SummerSlam. Oh, God. For Sirius XM listeners on August 1st and 2nd. There will also be audio simulcast for select programs, television programs. The WWE and Fanatics podcast slate will also air on WWE Radio, including Cody Rhodes, Stephanie McMahon, and The Undertaker shows. Taker's getting a podcast!
I mean, he already has a podcast, 6 Feet Under.
I know, but now it's going to be on radio. We used to joke about that, remember?
Oh, I know.
Sounds anyway, real. Coffin talk. Get a little coffee cup and everything. Anyway, Undertaker shows and WWE Now from Sam Roberts and Megan Morant. Episodes of those podcasts will air daily at 4 p.m. Eastern. During SummerSlam week, WWE Radio will broadcast live programming from Minneapolis. It will also broadcast several live shows directly from Minneapolis in days leading up to SummerSlam, capturing the vibrant atmosphere and fan excitement surrounding the weekend's events. Dave LaGreca, Bully Ray, Mark Henry, Tommy Dreamer, Sam Roberts, and Peter Rosenberg will host from the Minneapolis Convention Center and will analyze upcoming storylines, interview personalities and superstars, and speak with fans in Minneapolis and across the country. In addition to the live coverage, WWE Radio will be home to the popular daily wrestling program that Sirius XM has delivered wrestling fans for years. And this is where it gets really, 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 really interesting. Because supposedly nothing's changing. The programming lineup is anchored by Sirius's longtime flagship show, Busted Open, hosted by Dave LaGreca and WWE legends Bully Ray, Mark Henry, and Nick Nemeth, every day from 9 a.m. to noon. Listeners will also hear Not Sam Wrestling Live, hosted by Sam Roberts, Cheap Heat Live with Peter Rosenberg, The Heartbeat with Natalia, and Off the Ropes, which features a cast of current and former wrestlers, including Raj Desi, Mark Henry, and Tommy Dreamer. The nighttime show Busted Open After Dark will continue to air 5 nights a week and give fans a place to call in and react after nightly wrestling events, including AEW, supposedly. The channel will be available on Sirius XM radios and the app, if you're interested.
Okay, this is cool. First off, because Sirius has all the different sports channels like MLB Radio, MLB, NFL Radio. That's cool. You're now in that genre of category. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Having radio broadcasts of PLEs, that's really cool. They used to do that way back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a cool thing. Say you're on the road traveling and you can't make it home for SummerSlam. You can listen on the radio like a normal sporting event. To me, that's pretty cool. The broadcast from the host city for Minneapolis at the convention center, that's like they do for the Super Bowl, where you bring all the talent in. It's media row where they have all the radio stations. So this is WWE's version of, here we're gonna have everyone come in through, probably do interviews and such on the radio. That's pretty cool. Once you get past those live event experiences, it's just your typical radio network, which will continue to be Busted Open, that covers AEW somewhat, kind of, but not fully. They had After Dark, which would air after Dynamite, and they also have one for Impact, or not Impact, for TNA now, as well. That will be interesting to see if they still cover them. They did not put that in the press release, but not surprising. The coach used to, I think, was on Off the Ropes, or whatever it was called. He's no longer there, so that's one change, which I think no one's surprised by. Which I think no one's surprised by because of how critical he is of WWE and everything. So will Busted Open probably change? As someone who's never heard Busted Open more than maybe two minutes, probably will. It will probably change. They say it won't, but after the, here's the thing. This week it will change because they're gonna fully cover WWE topics and stuff. So it will be mainly WWE-centric because it's a PLE week. Middle of October when nothing's going on, I don't know. Well, maybe it'll be fine. But I don't expect them to be full in and on all-in coverage on WWE Radio. It'd be interesting what Busted Open After Dark says on Wednesdays. We'll just be Busted Open After Dark here on Sirius XM, channel 156. Because usually when you're on a channel like that, it's branded. And you say, live on WWE Radio.
Yep.
The Busted Open Studios on WWE Radio. This is a smart move by WWE. People hate it. People may not like it. But no one was clamoring for AEW Radio. I'm sorry. They weren't.
No. I think in terms of the changes, there will be ones that we feel, especially if you are a longtime fan of the show Busted Open and you know how it typically runs. I'm sure there will be noticeable changes, but I think a lot of the changes that are coming are going to be done very softly and very quietly. And a lot of people may not even realize that they've happened until it's like, oh shit, they don't talk about this anymore. They don't do this anymore. You know, it's going to be it's branded WWE, so they're essentially paying for it. That's typically what that means. And so they will get a say in the content and everything else, but I think it is to their benefit because they do they still have the partnership with Impact, or did that end?
They still have the TNA partnership. They don't do much with it much right now, but they're still, like, Thea Hale was wrestling in the tournament for the new TNA Knockouts TV title. So there's still a partnership. Like, I think, as Busted Open After Dark covering TNA Radio on WWE Radio, I think that's fine because that's a partnership. It's the AEW one that's kind of...
That's the $64,000 question. Will WWE have them talk about it? And it could be that for that instance, because we were talking about it before the show, that you just do the channel number. You don't call it WWE Radio. Or they put it under a different, like, they do something with it where it's not co-mixed with the WWE branding, or they stopped talking about it. I can't imagine them doing that, though, just because of the kickback that that's going to cause. But I feel like everybody's bracing for it because we all know it's coming, right? Like, WWE is not going to necessarily be okay with a quote-unquote rival promotion being discussed on their radio station.
But they said we'll continue air 5 nights a week, so there is no Wednesday WWE show. So they are going to cover it. We'll see in 6 months if it's still there.
Yeah, that's what I say. It's like, I think the shifts are going to be very subtle. They're going to be very soft. And I think people aren't even going to realize that they're doing them. And I think certain things are going to kind of be phased out. And then that way it's less noticeable.
When Dynamite After Dark becomes Evolve After Dark, then you know.
Yeah, then you know. Or NXT After Dark or AAA After Dark.
No, because my point was because Evolve airs on Wednesdays, just like Dynamite. Because that's the only conflicted show. Because they do NXT, they do Impact, they do SmackDown and Raw. Wednesday is the only one. So if it becomes Evolve, then you know things have changed.
Yeah, you know something's up. So this is a thing to watch. And like I said, it's showing that radio is potentially back on the uptick, which it has been for quite a while in terms of the industry. Like if you watch it, especially for like advertising dollars, radio is going back up again, which is actually really cool. And this will, just for Sirius's benefit, and probably one of the reasons why they did this is because this will inject a lot of cash for them for not necessarily a lot of what I feel like is going to be effort, because the shows already exist, the brand, like it all already exists. There isn't a lot of setup. They aren't doing a lot of new stuff with this. They just have to sort of like rebrand it a little bit.
It's just using WWE is probably getting paid to license it out. WWE, I don't think, is paying for it. They're gonna make money off of the advertising, and it's everything they've already, like, everything's still under the SiriusXM budget. Whatever they were paying, like, allocated for this channel, will still be covered by Sirius. And WWE is providing them with the Fanatics podcast lineup, which will just fill in and probably fill in the gap for things that were airing. Like replays of shows. That's basically what it feature, because that's none of that's going to change.
Yeah, but now they can also sell like advertising packages and a whole bunch of other stuff. Like there's the potential for this from a strategy standpoint is pretty huge. I'm not going to get into it, but like what WWE can do with this, what Sirius is going to be able to do with this, what Fanatics can do with this, like there's a lot of benefit here for multiple companies involved.
Yeah.
So this will be something to watch.
For sure.
And speaking of, go ahead.
I'm just saying, for sure.
And speaking of AEW, let's talk about AEW. AEW announced that All In Welcome to Wembley Fan Experience will take place Friday, August 28th and Saturday, August 29th from the Great Hall at Wembley Stadium as part of the All In London weekend. Each session of AEW All In will have a limited capacity, allowing those in attendance to experience All Elite Wrestling up close and personal. Fans will have an opportunity to take a photograph with an AEW star, view rare AEW and talent memorabilia, get a photo taken with AEW World Championship belts, purchase All In London merchandise before Sunday's event, and participate in partner activations with Upper Deck Heavy's Shirt Farm and more. In addition, a live DJ, there's music guys, we'll host contests and giveaways, and fans will be treated to an exclusive preview from AEW Presents The Last Match. Tickets go on sale, or tickets for each session will be priced at £60 and go on sale this Friday, so tomorrow, July 24th, British Standard Time. You can go to awtix.com or livenation.co.uk.
Testing the waters for a fan fest that they brand, not Starcade or Starcast or whatever it was. The AEW branded. Dipping their toes in that market.
So say, that sounds really familiar and feels really familiar to something else, doesn't it?
I mean, good on them. They got to get out there and do their own thing.
Anything that helps them, I feel like, generate money is good. Not that I think they're in any kind of financial trouble, but I think we've been waiting for them to make this expansion for quite a while. And they've done it before with varying results. So I will be interested to see how this one goes.
Limited capacity means they're trying not to go too big. and they just want to see how this works.
And I don't know how big the like the space is, because they're doing it, I think, at Wembley. So I don't know like where they are at Wembley that they could host it.
The Great Hall at Wembley Stadium. What is that capacity looking like? Seating for over 1,000 guests. Okay.
Oh yeah, that's not big at all.
Yeah, it's just a hall room. That's all it is. You put up chairs and tables and stuff. It's not a big area. It's a minor mini convention center type thing. Best way to describe it. So
there you go.
I mean, go experience it when you're out there for All In.
Go have fun. Go get your picture taken. Go experience all things AEW. And let us know how it goes. But with that, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, we are talking all about Saturday night's main event. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTRLive? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. I mean Prime Gaming. Or maybe it's just Prime. It's the easiest way to support us for free.
This just into the CB Radio news desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio news desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheep. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like,
what?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw post show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Once Monday Night Raw ends.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone, go Simpson.
Did you know you can use support a creator code Rockin' Sock in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. That's a hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio. Burn it
down! And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
We'll be right back.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a free sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we are here to talk all about Saturday night's main event, which was live from Madison Square Garden.
So this was a fun show if you were a fan of the New York Knicks.
Yes.
If you don't watch basketball, you probably went a lot.
That would be me. Yes, that was me. I was like, who are these people? I don't know these people.
So as an overall spectacle, I liked it. It was different. It was it felt like a standalone show that kind of was in the WWE universe, but also adjacent because it was placating to New York specifically. It was tied into Fanatics Fest, so you had a lot of the execs there, so you're trying to push the sports theme behind it. The wrestling on the show was pretty all right. We spent a lot of time last week talking about the women's tag team titles. I was surprised they changed hands. But I was surprised it happened, but not surprised at the same time, because we spent a lot of time talking how, like, if they don't win it and win it, then you have to kind of build them back up. Well, they won it, and the man should maybe be happy about that one, because he was pro them winning last week in chat. So I thought they did all right in that match. You're going to probably see Nikki Bella's return happen here in a not too distant future to kind of even up the odds.
Yeah.
I thought
like for an opening match, it set a good tone. It went better than I thought it was gonna go. Just to like throw this out here, I don't walk into Saturday night's main event with high expectations.
No, you shouldn't no longer. This is just a TV show at this point.
Like, the bar is very low. So as long as it's entertaining and it's easy to watch, which that's what this was. Like, I thought the pacing on the show was really well done. The flow was good. Again, if you're not familiar with basketball or the Knicks or New York sports in general, it was a little confusing. Although with Danhausen being there, you knew they were going to do that because it's in the Garden. The Knicks 1-5. Everybody knows the Knicks 1-5. And at this point, I think if you don't know Danhausen was involved in that, just for the sheer amount of media coverage that got, I have no hope for you. But like, I thought as an opening match, it was really good. You know, for what this was. Like, was it the most barn burner awesome thing I've ever seen? No. Absolutely not. But I thought it did its job. I thought the girls looked good together. I think Nikki's going to come back here, to your point, very soon. And then that way you can either have them be a trio in terms of Paige, Nikki, and Brie. You can move Paige on to other things. Nikki's injury has actually kind of been, in a weird way, not in a good way, but in a weird way, beneficial for Paige and the fact that it's given her something to do, because I don't necessarily know what she was supposed to be doing before this. You know,
I don't think there was anything for her before then. I think they were in talks, but the Nikki's injury kind of sped up the talks as a replacement.
Yeah,
but it's also benefited Brie in this in the way of she's been able to carry a lot of the in ring and kind of work herself back into shape, in the ring shape, and it's done well for her.
Yes. I agree.
All right. So
we're not happy about it, but it was good for everybody except Nikki.
It also helped Nikki in the long run. She kind of can come back and rest. And I would also, a 6-woman tag match on SummerSlam, if they need another match, wouldn't be the worst idea. Or if it's next Friday on SmackDown, it wouldn't be the worst idea either. All right. Danhausen, JD McDonagh. This was no DQ. This was shenanigans like we all thought it would be. It was the setup for Danhausen versus Dominic coming up at SummerSlam, which we talked about a lot last week. But this was the first sign of New York, New York, New York, New York. Everything plays into it. They did a mini parade for Danhausen before, like, from him going from Fanatics Fest to the Madison Square Garden, which was interesting. It was in the rain, so all their plans kind of, but they had a float for him to just drive down a few blocks with R-Truth. But this was what it was. You had little Danhausen to get involved because they surprised him at Fanatics Fest. And then he put the cat in the machine and everyone knew, it's going to be a big cat. Carl Anthony Towns from the New York Knicks. And holy shit, was he impressive.
Yeah, he was. He was really impressive.
He is a 7-footer. He lifted up JD one-handed and just chokeslammed him, put Dom through the table. Fans loved it. It was a cool moment. He looked impressive in the ring. That was good crossover stuff where he was able to do something. He didn't take a bump, so the NBA can't get mad at him.
Nope. He's perfectly safe the whole time.
He just palmed something like he palmed a basketball. That's basically all he did. And threw it down like he's slam dunking. And that was crossover for Fanatics Fest. It got things over. It was very sports entertainment-y for the right audience that loved it. And the crowd popped huge. That's the best way to put it.
I'm going to call this what this was. This was stupidity at its finest. And I loved it. You had the Minihausens. They got involved at one point. Like, the cat stuff was cool. That was not stupid, just as an FYI. The cat stuff was cool. But, like, the whole thing was just stupidity at its finest. And sometimes you just need that in wrestling, because that's really what Danhausen does great, is comedy and stupidity and just these light-hearted moments that you can just make you relax. And that's what he's really, 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 really talented at, is doing that and delivering that every single time on such a consistent basis. And like, I love the video package they put together for the match beforehand. That was kind of like mob mafia themed. That was nice. Like, the whole thing was good. And it was a nice light moment in the show. Like, that was really the key thing, right? Because they needed to set up Dom and Danhausen for SummerSlam. They achieved that. You got JD on the show. Everybody looked good. Everybody had fun. He even had a live appearance at the beginning. But it was a nice change of pace, simply because it wasn't the typical Judgment Day match that we see, where it's like it's going, it's interfering, then there's interference, Judgment Day, you know, wins, you know, and everybody goes home. Like, with this, it's like Dom's there, JD's there, it's no DQ, anybody can get involved, you know they can, but Danhausen had backup this time in multiple ways. And it was fine. And it worked. And the crowd was happy, the crowd was enjoying it. Danhausen got a very appropriate level pop when he came out.
He did.
He got the jersey back, which is what was important, because that's what they were fighting over. Let's not forget it. He wanted his Knicks jersey back from Dom, and he got it. I think this did everything it needed to do.
So that's one side of sports entertainment. Then let's talk about the other side. It was Lyra Valkyria versus Bayley. Lyra's new look, new gear, new music, new everything, new submission.
Submission was good. Like, Bayley foaming at the mouth. That was like, whoa.
So Lyra had a bloody nose.
She did.
Probably was not the best thing for her, but she worked through it. Lyra choked out Bayley to win, and then continued to beat down on her. Left her laying on the bottom half of the ring steps with Nightwing. What were your thoughts? Because I heard the grumble. What was your reaction to the match?
The match itself was fine. Like, I liked the match portion of it. I'm not sure I'm digging the character that she's doing. Like, I'm trying to give it a chance, and I do appreciate that when, like, they did the interview segment with her backstage, that, like, she looked better, because I think what was just the giant turnoff was when she appeared on Raw with the new quote-unquote character, and she looked very shabby. And it's like, girl, no, don't, y'all don't do that to her. Like, that was, yeah, like, not a fan of the tattered clothing. At least here, she looked a little bit better. Like, I get the whole thing is that she's kind of had a nervous breakdown or a mental breakdown. And she's, like, trying to sort of come back from that. Like, she's gone to this new place because of it. And that's sort of what they're presenting. I'm just not sure if I like the presentation of it at all, really. Like, I think the wrestling's good. You know, she's always been very sound in the ring. That's not the problem. It's the presentation. It's the character. I'm just not a fan of it. I'm not liking it. I'm not enjoying it so far. I'm still trying to give it a chance. But to me, it's not registering in a good way. So we'll see how long it lasts or what they really do with it. And it's not really any fault of Lyra. Like, she's trying. You can tell she's trying really hard to, like, put this across. It's just, I think the way that they're presenting it, just, it doesn't work for me.
Okay, so that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the scuttlebutt rumor mill. Let's talk about it.
The Ooh, we have tea?
You don't know the tea?
Mm-mm. There's tea?
That could be it for Bayley in WWE.
Really? Tell me more.
Well, some believe that could have been the write-off of Bayley. She has not re-signed with WWE. Her contract's up at the end of the year. And there's talk that this could have been the end. She could be back in 2 weeks and who knows, and continue to work for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But some believe this could have been the send-off of Bayley in terms of using her on television for right now, because apparently she's effectively done for now, which is surprising. Mm-hmm. She has a lot of options if she chooses not to re-sign with WWE. Some believe she could go to AEW and reunite with Mercedes and kind of have a run there. And wouldn't surprise me if that happens. But I think she's someone who will ultimately stay with WWE. Or if she does leave, it's a short leave and she comes back.
But I know, that's a tough call.
Because she wants to help the business grow, and she wants to help young girls improve. We've seen it with her wrestling camps.
Mm-hmm.
It's she's in a spot where, what does she want to do? She's in her mid-30s at this point. It's, what does she see her future as, especially as the company's changing? It's be interesting to see. I think she stays. I think she signs a new deal. But a lot of people say this was her last match for now. And if it is, it is. I think she comes back and continues this feud with Lyra. I'm not buying this be the write-off. But I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, Bayley has certainly earned the right to do pretty much whatever she wants to do. And I think she is one of those cases where she's done pretty much everything WWE has to offer, more or less. I think the only thing she hasn't done is won Queen of the Ring.
Or main event WrestleMania, or Money in the Bank. No, there are things left for her to do, but...
Well, she was kind of in a main event of WrestleMania. She just had to share it with people.
No, she didn't.
No?
She was never... She was never there.
I thought she was there.
No.
No? She still has Mania to do. I mean, like, here's the thing. I think... In terms of Bayley, she's had multiple fantastic runs in WWE. The problem is not her. The problem is, I think they don't know what to do with her at this stage. Bayley is somebody who is so wonderfully consistent and so capable of taking whatever they give her and running with it. And I think it's just something where right now they don't know what to do with her. They don't have a direction. She hasn't had one really for a while. And say what you will about that, because I know they put her with Lyra and I know she was working with Lyra, but even then they really didn't have what I would term a direction. They were just kind of together in there, because I think Lyra was another one that they just didn't really know what to do with her. And so they put Bayley and Lyra together because they had been working together. And it's like, we're going to have Bayley start doing like the weird stuff. And then Bayley kind of stopped it when she befriended Lyra. And now Lyra's kind of lost her shit and they're back to feuding again. And, you know, if that's it for Bayley, that's it for Bayley for right now. If she decides she wants to go off and do her own thing, she's absolutely earned the right to do that. I think it would be a mistake for them to let her go, because you have a very capable performer in Bayley, especially somebody who can do what I would term character wrestling, because I don't know what else to call it. You do not have a lot of people that do characters anymore. Everybody's just kind of sort of a projection of themselves. Bayley is someone that can do characters. That is a huge benefit to have her go back down to the PC and teach that to people, in addition to just being another influence for up-and-coming wrestlers, either in the PC or out on the indie scene. Because God knows, I think the indie scene needs more trainers. Reliable, capable trainers, because I don't know what it looks like lately. But I know, like, that I think a lot of the schools have either closed or have, like, gone away or what have you. So I don't know what's still out there in terms of professional wrestling training, but she would be a very positive influence in the industry either way. But I think it would be a mistake for them to let her go. I have little doubt as to what the holdup is, because that seems to be a recurring theme with WWE, is that it's probably money. And they, like a lot of other people who have left, have probably asked Bayley to take a pay cut. She doesn't want to take a pay cut. And so they're taking it up to the end. It is very unusual that, yeah, she's up at the end of the year, that they haven't re-signed her, because normally they start that process pretty early, which means they've probably been negotiating for a hot minute with her, which could be a reason for the inconsistencies, is they don't want to put her into anything too substantial because they just don't know if she's going to re-sign or not. So they've had her around, they've had her doing stuff, but since really the end of Damage Control and all of the Intercontinental title stuff that she was doing, it's kind of sort of it. It all depends if TKO is willing to pay her what she wants. When they all seem to be doing lately is trying to get a veteran talent to take less money unless you're a main eventer. They're doing the sports model. If you're not the top talent, you're not going to get paid like a top talent. The days of, you know, you make it to a specific level and you make it to a pay grade are over. Like, just because you were hot and you were worth, you know, say $5 million a couple of years ago when we signed you, doesn't mean you're there now. You have to get on top and you have to stay on top and you have to prove your value and your worth. And that's really the message that they are sending to their talent, which I think is a little bit of bullshit, because it's like, if you get to a certain level and you make that money, you should get to continue to make that money, because a lot of that is out of your control. Like, you as a veteran talent, you have a say in storylines, but ultimately you are at the mercy of the writers and the bookers and everything else. And if they're not going to book you into that spot for whatever reason, you shouldn't be punished for that decision. So I don't think it quite works in professional wrestling in the same way that it does in sports. Like, for sports, it's like, yeah, you practice and you become a top performer and you're consistently a top performer and they're putting you in games and you're playing in games. Yeah, absolutely. You should be paid the top money. And then as you decline in your career, you make less and less and less and less. That's completely fair, because you are not at the same level talent-wise of what you were, say, at your peak when you're at your end. Like, a great example of that is, like, pretty much any veteran sports player ever, right? Like Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, you know, you look at where they were at the peak and you look at where they were at the end, and they weren't necessarily making the same amount of money, although I'm sure they were.
No, they were good agents and they were getting paid the most amount of money for their weakest performance. That's kind of how that goes. But, and also some of the pay cuts, think about it, also have to deal with when certain talents in 2021 signed contracts. Well, with that, because a lot of them were 5-year deals, right?
Mm-hmm.
The events were doubled.
Yeah.
They've cut back on events, so working less means less money. All has something to do with taking less money, but you're a top guy or upper mid-card guy, you want to still be paid the same amount of money, but you're working 50 shows instead of the 100 shows. There's a difference there, too, that people kind of forget about.
Yeah, and again, that's something that's out of the talent's control, and I think that's a different conversation to be had, because that is a very good point. And the fact that the company is cut back on events. And so they're passing that cost onto the talent, right? Like, the company isn't going to necessarily take it out of their profits to pay the talent what they're making currently to really make up that difference in pay. It's just, well, we're just going to cut the pay, but we're going to keep the money. And that's really sort of what they're doing there. Even though that is, again, completely out of the talent's hands, that they have cut house shows. And I understand why TKO did it, was house shows weren't necessarily making any money, or were not making a lot of money for the trouble and the cost that they took to put on.
At the high level that they were doing them, yeah.
Yeah, at the height that they were doing them, it wasn't worth it. And I respect the fact that, because it's like, and TKO is a business, WWE is a business. They have to make money. That's why they're there. It's the most obscured fact, an obvious fact in professional wrestling that everybody tends to ignore, is that all these companies, Impact, or TNA, AEW, WWE, everybody else, these are all businesses. They're in it for the money. WWE is just very transparent about the fact that they're in it for the money. Like, they have not hidden that for literally years. That's why we're here. That's what we're doing, is, yes, we're here to put on a product, quality product that you're going to enjoy. But the benefit to us is we get your monies and we take your monies for things. And that's why they have all the brand deals and the partnerships and the everything that they're doing, is because they are trying to float their business and make their money and bring in revenue that is outside of their TV deals, because they understand that all it takes is for them to lose one of those TV deals and they are fucked. So they are trying to find ways to supplement that income and bring in additional revenue for the company. So they're in a little bit better spot if, say, the TV deals maybe aren't as lucrative as what they used to be. Although that's certainly not the case because they're getting paid out the ass for some of this stuff. But, like, I don't think it's necessarily fair to pass that on to the talent for decisions that they're making, but I understand the decision. I don't like it, but I get it. I feel like TKO is especially aggressive in trying to get money, but because they're trying to clear the debt. And I agree they are aggressive. We've had this conversation before that they are passing the cost of the debt onto the fans and they're passing the cost of the debt onto the talent. And they're aggressively doing the marketing and the brand deals and everything else, but that isn't necessarily covering it. So it's, we're going to raise prices, we're going to cut salaries, we're going to do layoffs, we're going to do what we have to do to liquidate and get rid of this debt so we can start running back in the black. Because that's what they're fighting against, because they have to clear it, I think, by a certain point, or there's like tax implications or something like that. I don't know. I have no idea. But like there is a time frame of which that all has to be cleared.
But one final point. They're not the only company that does it. We saw it this week with ESPN and Disney.
Oh yeah,
they bloodshed a bunch of people. 33-year on-air talent gets let go. People get pulled. This is something WWE and TKO hasn't done yet. The announcement of their firing got leaked, and they had to be pulled off the air. That happened this week for ESPN, the worldwide leader.
Yeah, you don't want that kind of stuff leaking.
So they had the firings were supposed to come out on Tuesday morning. Everyone's going to be notified. But one source, one website, a source had it and was going to gave ESPN like an hour to kind of release it and then to tell the story. And as the guy was on air, the story was coming down and they had to pull him off the air before fully learned about it that way. And he was like, oh, they let go a lot of talent. Microsoft let go a lot of people because of the mergers. ESPN had to do it because they bought its stake in NFL media. So they had to let people go. It's the way people do business. It sucks. But here we are. Anyway, we gotta get back to the PLE. Or not PLE, but Saturday Night's Main Event. Punk, Cody, Gunther, Sammy. Was everything we thought it would be. Boom. Yep. Then there's a ref bump.
There's always a ref.
Sammy was pleading with people. And then there was more shenanigans. And then boom, a belt shirt heard around the world from your general manager, Nick Aldis, laying out Gunther. Gunther gets hit with the GTS 1-2-3. Punk and Cody wins. Punk and Cody had exchanged words, and there was an angle they put on social where they were really upset, like, and angry, and were pissed off that it was being filmed. And then they did a thing on the kickoff on Sunday where they're kind of getting a little heated with each other. And it's personal. And yeah, I like where they're headed with that. But the costing Gunther thing was expected, and it was awesome.
Yeah, I this was everything I wanted, and then some. And you're setting up SummerSlam with it in multiple ways. Nick Aldis having that little moment to shine was fantastic. It's like, oh, good for you, buddy. I love that for you. But yeah, like I thought all of this was really enjoyable. Match was exactly what you'd expect, and I think they did everything right here. Like, it was a good main event. I did like the social follow-up between Punk and Cody. That was really nice how they did that, which was funny because I actually saw that before I saw the show. And so I was like, oh, something fucking happened. Okay, all right, well, I have that to look forward to. But yeah, I like how they're doing that, where it's like you have stuff happen on the show, and they've done this for a long time, where it's like you have stuff happen on the show, you follow up on social media, but you're still keeping it consistent on the show because they do recap what happens on social media, unlike other people. So even if you don't follow them on social or you didn't see it, you still get that context of what's going on in that continuation of the story, which is very nice. And I'm going to be completely honest. I'm looking more forward to Gunther and Nick Aldis than I am Cody and Punk, but that's to be expected, I guess.
Yeah, because Aldis hasn't been in the ring in years. It's new. It's fresh.
It's like, ooh, this is fun.
And then we had the main event segment, Acknowledge Your New York Knicks.
Yeah.
You had Jalen Brunson, who I think they wanted to do something more physical with him, but he had wrist surgery, which is why wearing the air cast on his arm.
Yeah.
So he couldn't really do anything physical. You had Tyrese Haliburton come out as for the heel side with the Pacers. Crowd loved it. When Jalen got in front of, stood in the way, allowing Roman Reigns to hit the Superman punch on Rollins, popped the crowd. They celebrated. It was a Knick fan celebration that the local crowd loved. The man's mentioned should have been off the air. No. I mean, yes, but no, it's fine. Because it's television. They've done it before, celebrating a local act. Again, media partners, brand partners, sports center moments. Sometimes the pure wrestling fan has to get sacrificed for that. But they worked around it with a wrestling angle for SummerSlam. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. It was an angle that was meant for that crowd, and it's all that matters at the end of the day.
Hey, Brent. What's up? I think normally I wouldn't be necessarily on board with this, although to Brent's point, like, they were in the Knicks home turf and it's the home team for WWE. And I think the connection between WWE and the Knicks and all of that that happened with Danhausen, because that was all organic in quotations, of how that all happened, right? And it's such a magical thing that occurred that I think in this instance you have to sort of let that just go, and you have to let the Knicks have their moment and WWE share in it, because of all of that. Like, normally it's just, oh, they're doing a local sports thing and you could do it off the air and it's fine, but in this instance, because of how viral that went and just the whole thing, how it all went down, like, I think you have to have that moment on air. You have to. Because it's sort of the closure for that moment.
LaManza was on SportsCenter that night. Afterwards, during the week, it was the Danhausen stuff. But it was on SportsCenter that night.
Yeah. So I think you had to do it for that crowd.
Yeah, you did it for that crowd. I mean, there's nothing more you can really say about it. I think at one point it was scheduled to open, but they moved it to the main event. But again, we didn't matter at that point. The fans started chanting MVP, MVP, celebrating their team at the end of the night. They left happy. Yeah. They didn't leave with a dumb wrestling angle. They got to celebrate their hero because it's been 53 years since they won a title. That's what it ended up being. But yes, we are done.
So you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Chat, Saturday, we're doing something completely different.
Oh?
We're doing a listening party on CB Radio. The CB Radio Anthem. Or Anthems. We'll be listened to, reacted to, and more. Yes.
I have a question.
Yes.
An anthem?
Let the good times roll.
I'll answer that in a second.
Kane Kittens just subscribed for 42 months.
Thanks, Brent, for 42 months.
Thanks, Brent.
An anthem. A CB Radio song or two. Or a few. They're anthems.
A little ditty?
A little ditty. Would you like a sample?
I would love a sample. Can I say something?
Yes.
It reminds me of Full House. That the intent?
No, but that was very, very pop heavy. Like, a little bit. That's just a small sampling of what's to come this Saturday. CB Radio, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, along with the Excalibur Challenge. Tune in. Sunday night, they preview SummerSlam. 10 p.m. Eastern on Russell Talk Radio. Monday night, it's Raw Post Show. When Raw's ends, we're live to talk about it. Thursday night, we're back next week for another edition of The Rack, previewing SummerSlam at 10 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com. It's Wild Talk Radio Network. It's Rack Radio Show. On all social media platforms, wherever you get your podcasts, search The Rack Radio Show. Chat if you have Amazon Prime, like, you can just switch accounts. It's not Prime Gamers, not Twitch Prime, it's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen, or just click it because you like us, like Brent did for 42 months in a row. You can use credit card RocketSock or
Min's M Word.
When you buy Catwoman, when you buy Poison Ivy, and you buy Harley Quinn or Ice Spice SpongeBob collab. Hashtag epic partner.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lens Ward, LNSWRD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lens Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@someonelensward. And you can follow me on TikTok, LensWardZero. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, you can head over to Matt's channel, MBGFilms, youtube.com/MBG1211. Go like, subscribe, and tell him we said hi. Hi! Hi, welcome in! Sorry, we're leaving now. Bye. Anyway. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week for our SummerSlam coverage. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.